Welcome to Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. This is Matt Barbie, your host, and this is the show where we dig into what does success mean to you as a business owner and as a family man, and how do you get there? You know, what are the trials and tribulations that people go through? We hear people's stories, and we just dig into all that stuff. And I'm, again, Matt Barbie, your host, and I just love to help people create businesses that give them the lives that they dream of. You know, we put the people and processes in place and create great profits and revenue and all sorts of stuff like that. But today here, we've got a very, very special guest, and he's going to tell us how he juggles it all. And we're here with Jeff Kozitek.
Sure. Yeah, Jeff Kozitek.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, you were telling me the Polish one, like right before we got started, like the Polish version of it. And so it totally jacked up my mind.
My bad.
It's all right.
So yeah, it's Kozitek.
You know, okay. It's all right. Was it in the Polish version of it?
Kozitek.
Yeah. Okay.
So but we're not there.
Like, so. No, we're not. All right.
Well, I mean, you could be there listening.
Could be right now.
But so yeah, for all of you back in the homeland, Kozitek.
Right.
Here, Kozitek.
Okay. All right, good.
Yeah.
Sorry, it kind of threw me off. But
my bad.
All right, so now you've been a prominent speaker internationally and with large corporations. You've done the juggling. Jeff has been kind of like your big thing for a while. But you're also doing
more than 20 years. Yeah.
More than 20 years. Wow. Yeah, well, tell us a little bit more about that. And I know you're kind of phasing into kind of a new season with some of that stuff. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
About the juggling? Well you about, throw things you know, in the air and then you catch them again.
So I mean, I'm like really good, like
one up.
Not,
two
I mean,
down.
Three for like 3 seconds, but I can, I can do it. Like I could. And this is radio, otherwise I'd show you. There's a Facebook Live, but we won't talk about that. All right, so right there.
Yeah.
So all right, so tell us more about you know your business and like where did juggling Jeff kind of come from? Like how did that happen?
So there I was, Matt. I was 11.
Take us back to that moment.
Super excited about magic.
Ooh.
David Copperfield.
Oh yeah.
Idol.
Oh
like,
yeah.
That's what I was all about. I had a little magic kit at home.
Love it.
Loved magic. So I said, you know what, Mom and Dad, I'd love to learn more about magic. Can I do that? And
yeah.
I said, here's a magic workshop. I said, great, I'm in. So we sign up, and I'm really looking forward to this. And then on the way there, the day of, in like anticipation is high, super excited.
Okay, all right.
And then Mom drops the bombshell. She says, sorry, Jeff, the magic workshop was full. Forgot to tell you. So we put you in a juggling workshop instead.
Really?
And I thought, who likes juggling?
Yeah.
I don't. Why am I here?
But as fate would have it.
Changed my whole life. Right? Yeah. So we picked up juggling and I really wanted to be a film actor at the time. So I thought, hey, this will be an asset to that. But then it kind of became its own thing.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah. So, you know, early on, how did you, because I mean, there are some listeners who are kind of in that performance area, right? How did you take that from, okay, so you're an 11-year-old learning how to juggle and then, you know, international speaker? give me the quick version. We've only got like 24 minutes left.
24 minutes. Okay. Let me time myself.
All right. And go.
Go. So as a child, I picked up two messages.
All right.
One was on purpose and one was not on purpose. This would be like the 4-minute summed up version. Is that all right? Can we?
That's good because we still have to talk about family stuff too. So yeah.
Okay. Maybe. So the first message I got was from my parents. They said, find something you love to do and make that your job.
Yeah.
So I love art and people. Juggling fit in there.
Yeah. Right?
And so did painting and so did photography and video and casting and whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The other message that I got was that you are only worth what you do. You know, your value comes from your performance. So
okay, interesting.
Yeah. So if I perform well in school, then people paid attention. If I perform well in sports, people paid attention. If I wrote a piece of poetry, people listened and paid attention, right? But if I wasn't doing that, people were looking the other way.
So you're an attention hog, we'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I needed the attention. Otherwise, why was I here?
Right.
Like it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But I learned, like, on stage, like, you had to pay attention for, like, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then it was rude not to applaud afterwards.
Right, right.
So I'm like, hey, this is great. And I kept doing this. And consequently, that I became a workaholic because if I stopped performing, my value dropped.
Interesting.
So I was like, you don't take vacations, you don't stop, you just keep going.
Wow.
But then in performing, what I tell people a lot is that I got to cross a lot of different social boundaries. So I'm performing for kids, for adults, for mixed audiences, and it doesn't matter where I've been, everybody has to answer the same basic questions that I had to answer. What is their worth and where does that come from?
Yeah.
And when I started to realize that this is all over the country, I thought we should do something about that. In addition to just providing laughter as an entertainer,
right,
or entertainment with a message, why not actually give people tools that help them understand that their value does not come from their performance, that they have intrinsic value, internal value that never changes.
Yeah.
Their perception does, but their actual value doesn't. So if I could help people stand on that and live personally and professionally from that foundation, that seemed to take my love of art and people and really, really focus that down and give a very clear purpose.
Yeah.
So I started speaking. I got certified to do life coaching. Just joined you with the John Maxwell team.
Yeah.
And I started writing books. So the performance is fun, but I no longer need it to feel like I matter. You know, so now I can perform because I just want to help people and I love to do that.
Yeah.
But the speaking really speaks to that more strongly.
Yeah.
Strongly.
So
that's the symbol for strong.
I thought you were just flexing your biceps there with that hand motion you were doing.
No, I'm trying to build
biceps. Strong. Yeah. Well, I would think, you know, depending on what you're juggling, I mean, you'd have fairly fit arms.
When I was younger, I used heavier clubs. Now I use the light ones.
And the hollow ones.
Yeah, now that I'm older.
So I'd love to go back, though, to this idea that you are your performance. So is that still like the message that rings true to you? Or how do you tell people what their value is? How do you?
There are a few questions there. Which one do you want to start?
All of them.
That's great.
What strikes your fancy, Jeff?
Well, I think if we're talking to business owners and we're talking to dads, everybody wants to feel valued somewhere, like the significant somewhere, like they matter.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting that, if you don't feel that in your marriage, or if you don't feel that as a father, but you do feel that in your business, it's really easy to say, you know what, I need to put more time in at work today. You know what, I'm going to have to work this weekend, and I'm gonna have to go in early, because you want to hang out where you feel valued, where you feel respected, where you feel needed, and you don't want to hang out where you don't feel that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if your value system is off, if you think your value comes from what you do, something externally, then this can be a problem, and then your family doesn't see you, your kids don't see you, and your spouse, who you said, hey, I love you, I care about you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Just kidding. I have to go over here because this is what brings me value.
Yeah.
I think that's why that's so important to recognize that comes from an internal perspective versus something out here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, so you're saying where people feel valued, they're going to just naturally
gravitate
towards.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if people find themselves maybe in a situation where their spouse is like, hey, you're spending a little bit too much time in the office, or you're spending a little bit too much time on the golf course or something like that, you know, what would you say is kind of maybe, I don't know if the right word is out of whack, but maybe kind of out of whack there, you know. What can you do? Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, you have to look introspectively, right? And look
that
at
helps.
Your value system, right? Like,
yeah.
Do I really value the golf course more than my family? Do I really value the business more than the success of my family? Right?
Right.
Is that where you would say that you kind of want to start?
Well, yeah, I would say you start with questions. Like, why am I always out on the golf course?
Right.
Why do I come home and I immediately go to video games or to movies? Why do I come home and then immediately leave to go hang out with the guys at the bar or wherever? You know, why is it that I look forward to work and I dread going home?
Yeah.
You know, and asking those questions honestly, and taking an honest look and not trying to close your eyes at the answer.
Yeah.
I think can offer huge clues that you can then build on. I mean, if you don't ask those questions, then you're kind of just stuck.
Right.
And I don't think people like being stuck. You know, it's the Matrix, right? I'd rather go in here and live in ignorance. Ignorance is bliss kind of bit.
Right, right.
You know, because it's just...
But that's interesting because there's also avoidance behavior sometimes there. So if there is something where, you know, you feel like you're obligated or something like that, but you don't feel like valued, or maybe you don't feel like you're bringing the value, you know, you're going to get, but yet you still feel obligated.
You feel obligated. Well, if you don't feel like you do marriage well, or you feel like you're not doing a really good job as a father, then you know what? Let's just spend less time there and spend more time over here where I'm totally rocking it out.
Right.
The numbers, look at all the business that I've built up.
Right.
Like you said, it's who wants to spend time in a place where they feel like crap?
So that's interesting, though, because... I you know, we see this this thing that often happens, and really is kind of like this part of the spirit of the show, where, you know, you'll have people who are good at business, or I mean, maybe they want to be good at business, and that's really where they feel a lot of value.
Yeah.
And so they spend a lot of time in the office, either because it's successful and they're just trying to take it to the next level, or maybe they're struggling and they're still trying to make it go, whatever that might be, and whatever stage they might be in. But they feel like their role, you know, culturally speaking, and let me ask you if you see this as well, that they feel like, you know, culturally speaking, we feel like our role is in our business performance, our professional performance. And so that's a big part of our self-worth, right?
Well, if you look at American culture, it says, you know, what you did yesterday is great, but what are you doing today? We say that in sports, in school. You know, we award the people that perform great academically, and we don't call out the people that don't.
Yeah.
You know, we award the people that do really well with their art, and then everybody else is just there to support them. So, like, that message is constantly reinforced. And then if you look at business, you know, what are you rewarding in business? Are you rewarding the dollars? Are you rewarding the numbers? Are you rewarding the effort? I mean, you usually get what you're celebrating.
Right.
And as a culture, we usually celebrate the achievement or the performance.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that everybody would do that. It's just not healthy or sustainable. Right?
Well,
I mean, it needs to be reversed. When you understand that you have value just as you, as a human being,
right?
You know, apart from your mistakes, apart from your achievements, apart from your circumstances, then you are freed up to be yourself. And then the excellence comes from who you are, does not define who you are.
Yeah.
Like, we often flip that.
Yeah.
When we flip it, that's when we get into trouble. But if we can flip it back and recognize that all that comes from us, it is not who we are, then the excellence comes freely, and it can take it to the next level or not, or we're free to change careers.
Yeah.
Or we're free to actually be present with the people that we care about.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about family, and then, you know, I'd love to kind of get into kind of like practically how your message kind of changed from what you learned growing up to how you.
Yeah.
So first, tell us a little bit more about your family. Then we'll kind of get into all that other stuff.
Well, I have two amazingly awesome kids, two boys, 10 and 7. And then I have my lovely wife who said yes 14 years ago in August.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. Yes.
Hey, babe. Yeah.
So how old are your kids again?
10 and 7.
10 and 7. Okay. So, you know, you've had a good decade of, you know, practicing the parent thing, right? You know,
ish,
right? It's always a practice, right? It's never
a practice.
It's just, I agree. It's always a practice.
Yeah.
So your message growing up, just to reiterate, was your value is based on your performance.
Right.
So that kind of led you to the juggling and the performance art and being on stage and all that stuff. Is that the same message that you're passing on to your 10 and 7 year old, or has it evolved? Has it changed? What does it look like now?
I hope not. I really hope not. Kale, Aiden, if you're watching this,
I hope not. You said
not the message.
You said crap earlier. I hope they're not watching it.
I said that the other day, and he goes, "Dad, you said I'm not supposed to say that word," and you said it.
Yeah, hey, don't, we'll have to bleep that out. You have to bleep that out.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we try to celebrate them. So every holiday, every birthday, we'll usually write down characteristics about who they are, and we celebrate that.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh my gosh, you did this. We celebrate, hey, you know, you're caring, you're generous, you're thoughtful, and we try to celebrate the human being versus what they do.
That's good.
And we let them know, like my son the other day, he's like, if you stop juggling, you know, what's going to happen to us? Because he's defined himself as the son of juggling Jeff. And I'm like, well, let's talk about that. Like, my value is beyond juggling. It comes from over here, just like yours does. I'm super excited that we can have a conversation like that.
Yeah.
Where you can switch careers. So I'm hoping that they will pick that up and that they'll see that. And they won't feel like, you know, if they stop playing soccer or if they don't perform well, that we won't love them.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting dichotomy as a parent, though, right? Because you want to encourage them in their performance.
Sure.
And of whatever that is, like you said, you know, if it's sports or the stage, you know, or just their grades, whatever that might be.
Right.
But yet you don't want them to feel like that's their only value, you know.
Yeah.
That, okay, well, hey, you know, yeah, sometimes a B is okay. You know, did you put in maximum effort, as Deathpool would say?
Yes, maximum effort.
Maximum effort.
That's great. I appreciate that reference.
Good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's just about showing up. If you want to do this, then let's do it. If you change your mind, then great.
Yeah.
If you make a commitment, let's honor the commitment till that's fulfilled, and then we can move on from there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I try to pass on what my parents taught me. You know, find something you love to do and go.
Yeah.
But I also try to recognize them even when things don't go right, or if they're not doing anything at all. Be like, hey, I just like hanging out with you. You don't have to earn my time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give it to you just because.
Right.
And so I feel like if I can spend time with my kids, even when they're not performing, that hopefully will send the message, I care about you.
Yeah.
Not just what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then I found out about 5 years ago, my mom was talking to an old friend of mine's mother. Are you tracking with this? And this mom asked my mom, when are you going to stop supporting Jeff's like theater stuff? When are you going to tell him to get like a real job? Like, because that's not, that won't work.
No.
And my mom told her, hey, we're going to support Jeff in this as long as this is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
If this is where he wants to go, we're all in. But I didn't find out till like 5 years ago. And I'm like, Mom,
really?
That would have been really helpful as a kid. Like, I mean, the support over here is one thing, but to know that not only you were supporting me, but you were fighting for me.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. Like,
yeah, that's a whole different level.
That would have had a whole lot more weight back then.
Yeah. I mean,
it has a lot of weight now, but but to have that extra piece, so we try to let my kids see that also, that we're supporting them and that I'm also fighting for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. Yeah. You know, my daughter knows this, you know, because I would always be like, you know, I'd tell her something about, like, talk to her about like going into sports and all that kind of stuff and encourage her, all that stuff. And then, but she mentioned that she wanted to go into cheerleading, right? You know, and I'm like, cheerleading, but like you were doing like soccer and all this kind of stuff, you know, and I'm like, all right, you know, so it was just kind of like a weird shift for me, but I'm like, all right, well, I guess if you want to do it, you know, then go for it, you know. But it was a little bit of a shift because I guess I had this kind of mental block around cheerleading and what it was, but then I'm like, I'm still looking into it a little bit more. And, you know, I think she wants to, you know, get into it and learn how to do the jumps and the flips and all that kind of stuff or whatever. And, but you know, it, even in that, you know, personally in that moment, it's kind of like, all right, okay. Yeah. You gotta embrace it and be like, okay, well, how can I support you in this, in this endeavor that I wasn't quite.
It's a good
wasn't quite mentally prepared for, but I'm like, all right, so then, okay, let's figure this out. And, you know, there's like this cheerleading camp that, you know, she's like, oh, I don't know if I want to go. I'm like, oh, go, you know, that way you can be even better prepared for it. And you can, you know, feel like you're walking into the year and the season, you know, a little bit more prepared because it's kind of new to you and all that stuff. So
that's smart.
Yeah. You know, it's
way to go, man.
Well, thank you. But, you know, I in my own moment, like, you know, probably, I don't know what the look was on my face whenever she said that, because I'm like, I mean, okay, like, but
we've spent, you know, lots of money supporting all of these other things.
Right.
And now you're
going
to walk away.
Right, right.
Why would you do that to me and my pocketbook?
Yeah, you know, and because, you know, but just like personally speaking, yeah, there was that shift. Hopefully I did all right in the moment, you know, with kind of the facial, you know, expressions and all that. But I think we all go through those moments where it's kind of like, you know, we put in this effort and we try to support our kids, but there is going to be that shift, like you say, like just because you were looking and focusing on this one thing here doesn't necessarily mean that, I mean, we should. You know, I wanted to try to still support and say, well, are you sure that you want to walk away and not continue to do that?
Are you sure you're giving maximum effort?
Maximum effort. But, and I said it like that, you know, you know, it's part of my parenting techniques. Yeah.
You're like hiking into the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you sure you're giving maximum effort? But, yeah, I mean, so we have to be ready to better understand is their better understanding, you know, what their role is in life, you know, where they want to go, who they are as a person, because just because they thought that was a route early on, I mean, and you're kind of also even evolving your career now, because you're kind of taking the juggling aspect of things and you're kind of expanding upon that with like the John Maxwell stuff and all that. So it's cool because your kids kind of get to see that as well and kind of see.
Well, and my kids, my oldest, Kale, he's an entrepreneur, and he'll be like, hey, we just started this leaf raking business. We just started this snow shoveling business. Now we're selling popsicles. Yeah. And he's like, and so he's like got this whole map. And I thought, you know what? I really like the Montessori school philosophy of the self-guided
by the student. Yeah.
So I try to bring that into my house. And so if my kid wants to do something, I'm going to do everything I can to support that.
Yeah.
Until we hit a point where either they've changed their mind or it doesn't work or it works really well and they're done and they're ready to move on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Man, we could go a whole nother show just on like self-guided learning and all that. But
yeah.
So consequently,
my youngest had a science experiment that he just randomly put together and it spilled all over our freezer. So that was not good. This magician told me something that shifted everything for me years ago. He said, it's not about being the best juggler, the magician, or best comedian.
Yeah.
It's about showing up to give to the audience and receive.
Yeah.
That's when my paradigm started to shift initially from value out here and just going, wait, all I have to do is show up and just interact with people. Like the freedom that came from that was huge.
That's a huge shift.
And then eventually meeting Jeff Arthur with the values conversation and having a conversation about where my value actually comes from was the final shift. And recognizing that when I'm present with my family, with my kids, their personalities change, their behavior changes, my relationship with my wife dramatically improves.
Yeah.
Because then I can be intentional about those things because I'm no longer chasing down value out here.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's deep. Well, hey, man. Well, thank you so
much.
Real quick, how do people find you?
The coreauthenticity.com.
Yes. Okay. Coreauthenticity. All right. Well, this has been Time for Success, Business Owner Dad's Edition. And we've had Jeff Kozietek. And reach out if you want a business that will give you the life that you've always dreamed of.
Core Authenticity.
341-441-5423.
That one, too.
Thanks.